Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome. This is Alexa. What is the purpose of the visit?
Jesus Christ.
Let's begin now.
And good morning, Kansas City. How are we on this lovely Sunday afternoon? It's not afternoon, it's a morning. I'm just getting a little ahead of myself. I'm back. I've been gone. It's been a week, but I'm here on this glorious, beautiful Sunday morning. How's everybody on this Sunday morning? Little February 18th action. 610 Sports Radio on a Sunday. First Sunday without football for many. But that's okay. Because we'll get through it. 913-586-7610. That is the text line here on a Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Dusty Likens with you. Been out, like I said, for the past week. Feels good to be back. And today's show, like many that you've listened to throughout this week, a little different. I'll explain in a little bit as we'll get through my early morning monologue. And then we'll look into the future, I promise. I do welcome you all into this Sunday morning show. I do appreciate you all for sticking around, hanging out with us. As we dive into this show, as you've listened to this radio station this entire week, and I've never been more proud of the people that I work for, the people that I work with, friends, family, colleagues, all the above, all you listeners. Seriously, I'm extremely proud. And this was a tough week to be out of. Right? This was a tough week because everything that you do is not planned. And as I go through this opening monologue in this morning, I want to tell you all that I'm very proud of you, that I love you all, even if you are some out there that don't enjoy my show or don't enjoy my voice or don't have a liking for Likens per se. That's totally fine. I want to start off by thanking people for helping me out during this week. Jay Binkley, Steven Spector, Jason Nivens, Josh Verner, all those people that were a part of After Hours while I took the week off. Now, again, I did not take the week off due to, you know, any sort of events that had happened to me. This was all had been pre-planned before the month of February even started. I said, after the Super Bowl run, hey, boss, we've been grinding. We do two different jobs, sometimes three different jobs. Just give me a week after the Super Bowl because I feel like they're going to win. We're going to have a deep run. I'm going to take some time off. And I want to start this Sunday morning show with the way that a lot of people had started their shows this week after the parade. Again, this is After Hours on a Sunday. I appreciate you listening, whether you're coming back from hearing the word, whether you're on your way to hearing the word, or you're traveling around for youth sports, or you're with your family of some sort. I promise you an introduction or an opening monologue like none other than I've ever done. But again, thanks to everybody that filled in for After Hours. Thanks to all the young producers that are starting to get their teeth cut through this industry and have to go through some certain times that are just different. And there's been a few instances in my career where sometimes sports gets pushed aside because of tragic events. We had all remembered a few years back when the young, late Yordano Ventura had passed away. A terrible day, a sad day, and a day that a lot of us will never forget. And I want to start with what had happened on Wednesday at the parade. Because I think there's a lot to dive into, especially from my side. And where I want to start is the most important thing that we can tell you on a Sunday, which is a day to rejoice, a day to, you know, feel good, a day to have a good day to relax. And as of last night, there was great news out of Children's Mercy. All patients have been discharged from the hospital after the horrific event that had happened on Wednesday. And this is not something that I can say that I feel like I speak for a lot of people. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, and I know that in these events, you're trying to build yourself up to get past it, but never forget it, right? You can always forgive. You can sometimes never forget. And I think this is one of those situations as a young lady was killed in a parade where it's supposed to be about fun. And after all of the shock, I think that sets in. I mean, I can tell you exactly what my scene was. I was working at my side job. People are coming in sporadically throughout the afternoon. Everybody comes in with a smile on their face. They're ecstatic. And then the bad news happens, right? There's been a shooting. And within that restaurant, it got somber. From guests to cooks to managers to servers to carry out people to it all. You felt the energy change. You felt the energy drop. Some guy comes in, sits at a table, says, hey, man, guess what? This right-handed today. It touched the Lombardi trophy. Smile on his face. 10 minutes later, when all the TVs changed to the tragic news, a smile's gone. That's not what that day was supposed to be about, but that's what that day was about. And I think after all of the smoke settled and all of the tension kind of relaxed to a certain point of being able to focus on what was the next move, I think the most important thing that hit all of us, at least in my opinion, was that it hit home. Because this is not the first time something like this has happened. This is not the first time that we've turned on the news and seen tragedy breaks out, multiple people injured, or people are killed. But my goodness, when you see the TV and you see some of those words and then you see Kansas City next to it, it's a little different. It changes you a little bit because it's like those things, it just hits close to home, right? You see tragedies all the time on the news and you see how close they are to your area and it feels a little different. It feels a little bit more hurtful. And then you start peeling back the layers of what Wednesday was. And you start figuring out, because you go back to Twitter and you see some of your friends that are colleagues that are doing their job or they had the day off and they felt like, you know, this is a time for me to go out and relax and get out of my sports skin and just be a fan. And you reach out to those people, right? We knew several people that were out there. Cody and Gold. Right on Grant, right? Friends and family members that I also had that aren't in this type of profession are there. And on a day where some took their children, where children were shot and injured and taken to a hospital and probably scarred for life, the parade became an afterthought. And I think when you think about what had happened and you understand that there was a parade and there were people having fun and there were people doing all these, you know, fun antics during a time of really probably not a lot of high stress. I mean, yeah, you worry about parking, you worry about, you know, getting back home, all that sort of thing. But then you have to get through all of this and you have to tell yourself, how do we move forward or how do we get better at this? And I think the first thing that really hit my mind was you see people share Instagram stories. And then you think about the victims and you hear the word kids. And that's where it kind of got me a little sick in the stomach, is that there were children involved. And I'm not saying that just because you're a certain age, it's okay. I think the three things that hit you right away is that it's during a time of relaxation and fun and celebration. It's then in your hometown and it hits close to home. And then I think the third thing that it does is that you have to explain the process to maybe somebody or a group of people that aren't aware of these things happening. And those group of people and those people that aren't aware of those things are the youth. And I thought Nick Wright's opening monologue was great on First Things First, as he talks about how, you know, a kid led a grandmother through the problems because they had been trained. A kid had been trained for certain situations like this due to past experiences that we've seen in this world. And there's parents that have young kids. There's parents that have young youth family members that may not know that these sort of things actually do happen and what you're supposed to do when they happen. And having to explain this to a younger generation throughout time is sickening. But you have to do it. And I think that's the toughest part. Hey, how does this stuff keep happening? Why does this stuff keep happening? Well, son, or well, young daughter, unfortunately, we live in a time where this sort of stuff does happen, and sometimes you feel guilty. Right? Sometimes people will ask you, are you going to the parade? No, I don't really like large groups of people because you can't trust them anymore. And then it happens and you feel like, man, I'm kind of a bad person for thinking that, but then it does happen and you don't really have a feeling of what you really truly understand. That was me. But I'll tell you one thing that's a huge positive out of all of this is that when things like this happen, they do break you. There is no disbelieving that. But the best thing that you can do when you are broken into a million pieces is to build yourself back together using all those pieces to build yourself even stronger. And I don't think that this is something that is going to cause people to run away or live in fear. I think this is something that's going to get people more knowledgeable about situational things, make them understand how important time with family and time with friends can be. And if you missed Julio's story, powerful. If you missed Cody and Gold, what they were talking about, powerful. And yeah, you can say that maybe in the past there's been instances that there were much more casualties, but I'm not here to listen to that. This hit Kansas City and it hit home and it hit kids, children that don't have anything to worry about. No bills, no life urgencies, no nothing. They just want to go see their superstars with smiles on their faces and a chance to maybe see a trophy, get an autograph, get a memorabilia of some sort. But with events like this, at least in this country, and from what we've seen in the past, is that things get built back together stronger. Yeah, you're a little nervous. You're on edge. You're doing your thing. You're looking over your shoulder, but you're doing that because you're telling yourself, I won't get hurt again. I won't let this defy me. And when it hits your city, it hits close to home and it hurts harder. It does. And this isn't analogy time. This isn't like comparing this to a breakup or to see somebody that you love go somewhere else and you, by gosh, I'm going to come back stronger and do my best to be a better person. No, this is everybody as a cohesive unit, as a town, as a city, as an area that we call Kansas City comes together even stronger. You're not going to take things away from us because of a couple bad apples in the tree that ruined a perfectly fun, good afternoon for everyone. Not how this city works. I've been in this city long enough. I know enough people from the city. I feel the attitude of the city. We're not going to let a few bad apples ruin the fruit of our nature of this tree that we call Kansas City. And like I said, when you get broken into 1,000 or 1,000,000 pieces, it's going to take time to put it back together. But you'll put it back together more diligently, more precise, and that new product and that new rebuild will be stronger than the one before. But I'm proud of this city. I love this city. I'm proud of my teammates. I'm proud of my people. I'm proud of my friends for being able to be communicative, let their guard down, show a little bit of emotion. It's okay in times like these. You don't have to be the big tough guy. And shout out to all the heroes, the guys that tackled the person, you know, the people that sheltered kids, the people that helped kids, coaches, players, family members, the 800 plus officers on site, everything that could have been worse, maybe wasn't because of help, because of people doing nice things for other people, because people, I say it every night, do nice things for people. You never know. It could change their day, month, week, or year. It's cool to care, be kind, be safe. I tell you that every night. But one thing that we have to do is together, we have to move on. We will not forget, but we can move on and we can be strong and we can be stronger and we can unite as a city and come back even stronger, even though we were broken, we were beaten down, and a tragedy had hit right in our backyard. But we'll be all right because we're Kansas City and we're proud of this place. We've started to come up in the buildup too much and put too much blood, sweat, and tears into this to let a couple of bad apples ruin it for everybody else. Thank you for allowing me to have my opening morning monologue. I'm glad to be back. We will continue with sports after this. And thank you to everyone that helped out for After Hours during the week. I'm Dusty Likens. Quentin is here as well. This is 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to After Hours. Until football season returns. But we'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we get to get a little rowdy on a Saturday, you know? You can tie one off if you want to and not have to worry about waking up at 6:30 in the morning. Or are you sad that you don't get to wake up at 6:30 in the morning?
I like being here.
Okay. I mean, I love it. I mean, I look, this was probably the biggest grind of a year for me in this position. Like I'd done other roles. I'd been here and done other stuff, you know, along the way, but this season just felt a little different. Like this one just kind of felt like, you know, it was every 5 minutes. It was like, oh gosh, okay, we got to get going. We got to talk about this. And then it was like, you know, the boss sends us an email and he's like, hey, February's coming up. Would you like any, you know, do you have any, you know, thing you have to do? And I had some plans that fell through that didn't end up happening due to life circumstances. So I ended up having like a staycation, which are very underrated, by the way.
Extremely.
Very underrated. Big, big fan of the staycation. 913-586-7610. Because I've been out for a week, we'll kind of do a weeknight show clean. Because it's Sunday, praise be. And we'll do an out of left field question at 11 o'clock. Quinn didn't know that, but he knows now. And it's a doozy. We're going to find out just how good of people you are on a Sunday, you know? Because it's got some stank to it, you know? It's like a blue cheese of out of left field questions.
I don't know if I like that comparison.
See?
I don't like blue cheese.
But you kind of do. You kind of like blue cheese, right? Blue cheese is great. But no, I do. I'm happy to be back. Everybody off tomorrow. No show tomorrow. And then, unfortunately, I know I'm bringing you up and bringing you down. I won't be in Tuesday night. I got jury duty. I'm going to my fourth jury. I've been selected to my fourth jury duty. I've been to as many jury duties as Patrick Mahomes has been to Super Bowls.
Wow.
Insane.
Have you actually ever like sat in a trial or anything?
Absolutely not.
Been the preliminary phase.
First year I went, I got down to like the final 20, wasn't selected. Next year I went, got down to the final 20, wasn't selected. Third year I got selected, COVID. They asked a bunch of questions via text message. I sent them back in. A day later, we're good. We're not going to use you. I don't know if they thought that I just screamed like risk. I don't know. But they asked what my profession was, if I'd been around people, if I'd been around people that weren't wearing masks, if I was in a pub, all that sort of stuff. So they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. And that was like 3 years ago to the day that I got my next letter from the Court of Justices or whatever. It says, hey, man, you're coming back February 20th.
They keep teasing you.
I mean, it's rough, dude. Like, I know it's my duty. But, man, there's some people that hit you with it like, I'm 40 years old. I've never been selected. Oh, I'm 36, and I've been hit four times, and you have to wait 3 years in between. The math does not add up. Insane. But we're back here. We're in the lab, as we call it. We're on After Hours Sunday morning. Love this show. Love this time. But you heard what this team said. Right? I mean, they screamed it loud and clear. They started it in Vegas. They continued it with what was the parade. And one thing you're not going to have to stress about, at least we believe, is that there's a chance you don't have to worry about 95.
Kansas City, we will be back here next year. And for those who won't Chris Jones go, I ain't going nowhere, baby.
You believe him?
I think that I believe him in the sense that he doesn't want to go, but obviously this all comes down to the contract and what Kansas City is going to offer him. I think honestly last year the money was probably right around where he wanted it to be. He probably wants more years than the Chiefs are willing to give him.
I kind of do believe him. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself because I know what last year was. But you've heard what this team has said. You have seen enough to know what this team believes, what they want to do. And if there's one thing about this Chiefs team, it is that you should never, and I mean never, doubt the heart of what they believe. But you saw everything into this season, right? Chris Jones said, I'm not going anywhere. I want to come back. Right, you know you've got a few other pieces that aren't quite there yet to contracts, but they're looming. Karloftis, McDuffie. Now, again, you still have some time before those guys, but you could imagine they're going to be expensive as well. Willie Gay, Drew Tranquil, Nick Bolton, Chris Jones, L'Jarius Sneed. There are a lot of key names. But you heard what this team is focused on. This team, number one in their minds and their number one priority is, in fact, a three-peat. That's what they want to do. And if they want to do it, more power to you. Because I love, and I mean love, when you hear stuff like this from a team that essentially has it all. Because when they showed those four trophies on the stage, that opened my eyes. Like, that was something where I'm like, man, I've only seen this at like a Pittsburgh, New England, Chicago Bulls, Yankees, where there's just like one. Oh, there's another. Okay, there's another. And whoa, there's another one. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that watched that little moment or saw that clip that I saw and told themselves, wait a minute, they have four Super Bowl titles. They're kind of like in that group. You're darn right they're in that group. That's where they're at. They're now at that point of a franchise where not only have they won back-to-back, but on the eve of winning back-to-back and on the post-eve, the night of, celebratory Vegas, confetti, tears, Andy Reid falling on Chris Jones. They're talking about a three-peat. Oh, this title that this team just won in this season that we'll talk about, because I think it's the greatest title run that this team's had in the three that they've had under Mahomes Reed era with Veach. They're already, nah, man, this is great. This is fun. But we're thinking about a three-peat. You guys know you just won a Super. Like, the champagne is still dripping down the walls of the Vegas Raiders. Max Crosby's locker room is still soaked with champagne that doesn't belong to him and cigar ash that doesn't belong to him. But three-peat? Okay. And you look at what is next season, what you already know is coming back. The key pieces. The head coach, the quarterback, the general manager, the defensive coordinator who just got extended. And then you have this sort of talk that Eric Bieniemy is coming back. An all-star caliber type of coaching staff. A dream team coaching staff. You'll get your, you know, tough edge guy in Bieniemy, essentially. You'll have Nagy, who will still be there as the guy that loves to have the conversations on the bench with Patrick Mahomes, who apparently they know have good chemistry together. Oh, and Big Andy's here. And the guy that basically helped you win the Super Bowl the last 2 years, Steve Spagnuolo, he's right there too. Now you get to go be that team. Because we know that this roster still needs help. That's why I still think this is the best title run they've had. For many reasons to be identified later. But now is when, because we use two comparisons to basketball, and maybe we can sneak in a third, which it's still kind of one of them. But we've had a lot of conversations where they reminded us of that Golden State Warriors team, right? The first year the offense was there, electric, crazy, within a matter of seconds, points on the board and you're out of the game and you didn't even know it. You were up by 14, now you're down by 21, and you blinked. Now you can go make that Kevin Durant move to where everyone just cannot stand you. They don't like you right now. They don't believe, I guess they probably do believe now, but they don't want to believe that you are the cream of the crop, that you are the upper echelon of not only football, but sports. Because nowhere else in the sports world right now is anyone or any team doing what Kansas City has done. There is no Tiger Woods. Scottie Scheffler can't putt or he would be. There is no Chicago Bulls. Golden State is finally started to fizzle out, and there's no been real team that's kind of taken the lead. Baseball, it could be the Braves. It wasn't this year. And then you look at football, and there is a no doubt question. Who's the best team and who's been the best team for the last half of a decade? Oh, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. What gives? Three titles, 6 years. And now they're going for a three-peat, and you know they're going to make a move because that's all they said. Veteran wide receiver, free agent wide receiver, go make that Kevin Durant move. Oh, that's weird. Kyle Ridley doesn't want a whole lot of money. He wants a 2-year deal and he wants a chance to win a ring. Oh, Mike Evans already has a ring, but he wants two because people like Carrington Harrison don't think he's a Hall of Famer yet. Let me prove him wrong. I don't know. But maybe they don't really respect you and they don't like you. But either way, with a big key free agent move, they're going to have to deal with you. Coming up on the other side, we talk about that free agency that is looming large. A couple of names out there from receivers. What signings look like. Mike Gianetti joined the drive earlier this week. We will replay some of his audio. Plus, we'll do the out of left field question at 11 o'clock because I've been gone and I owe you people some content. That's just what I do. I'm kind. I love you. And I respect you. This is After Hours. That's Quentin. I'm Dustin. You're listening to...
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
610 Sports Radio.
I feel like I need to put on like a onesie and just start like power running. With like a headband on.
You want to know a fun fact about this song?
What's that?
Scott Parks loves this song.
Yeah. Who is it? I don't know 80s music, really.
The song is Starship.
Oh, okay. Should I know that song? Is that bad on me for considering myself a music person?
I don't know if it's like a super well-known song.
Okay.
But I know Scott Parks loves this song. I played it on when I did their show like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
He got all excited.
Yeah, he's a big 80s guy.
He's the only one at this building that appreciates my music selection.
I don't disapprove of it. I don't disapprove of it. I just think that you and I would have a heck of a time if you and I had to go back and forth on a phone. Because I think at one point we would like each other's song, and then there'd be a lot of times where we'd be like, it's all right.
It would be like every once in a while we'd meet in the middle, but then... Yeah. It'd be a wide range.
Schmiz, what it schmiz, right? 913, you have the best show on 610. Well, thank you. That's very kind words. Dan and KCK had a great time at the parade with my roommate Daniel, his friend Zach. We were on Grand. Then we didn't get to Union Station until 1 o'clock. Heard after it was over, still mad and upset, but I'm fine. I'm glad you're fine, Dan. I'm glad a lot of you and most of you are fine. Physically, I don't know if mentally, a lot of people are fine, and I appreciate you letting me have my time this morning for the opening monologue. I appreciate that. It's something I've been thinking about, but I am back. I'm not going anywhere unless the government takes me, which they are on Tuesday for jury duty. So unfortunately, I will not be here Tuesday night, but I am with you the rest of the way moving forward. I am going to talk a little bit of baseball today because I'm excited. I think you should be. I'm going to try to persuade you to have the same sort of mindset that I have. I'm not telling you that you have to think World Series or bust, but I do want to have a little conversation about that as well. Plus, you had a left field question at 11. Kind of brings us all together. So this is a Sunday show here on 610 Sports Radio, After Hours with Quentin and Dusty. This is the last time we'll be on Sunday until football season ramps up again. Monday through Friday, After Hours, normal schedule, 6 to 9, unless there is Vern's Hot Stove on Thursdays at 6 p.m., so you can hear that, unless K-State basketball plays. Tomorrow they do, so no show. So here I am telling you that I'm back, and then for the next 2 days that I normally have a show, I will not be here. So I'm very contradicting on this Sunday. Dear Lord, I apologize. You do have the Genesis Open final round today. Could be fun. Will Zalatoris, that's who I'm picking to win, plus 450. Somebody just said from the A16, they put $20 on Bobby Witt Jr. to win the AL MVP. That's a sexy bet. I'm not mad about it. I mean, probably one of the top three best AL players last year because everybody else plays for the Dodgers or the Braves. And they're all in the NL. And really all you have to do is hope that Shohei Ohtani doesn't have an anomaly of a year and that Mike Trout doesn't come back healthier than ever.
Shohei Ohtani's on the Dodgers now.
And he's in the NL, so it doesn't matter. I like the $20 on Bobby. But we'll get into that a little bit later, plus the out of left field question. But right now I want to get into something else that I'm talking about really, really fast because coffee's starting to kick in. This season and what it can look like with free agency. I do think that
I love analogies a lot. And we all have, I think, maybe not all of us, but we all have that one dish that we can make for a party. Hear me out. We all have that one dish, right? That starts off as a generic Pinterest or recipe on the internet, or maybe somebody's family member said, oh, here's how grandma made chicken and dumplings. Now you, here's the recipe, you do it. And through time or different situations, you have tinkered with that original recipe to the point you get it to how you like it. Maybe you don't use, minced garlic, you smoke your garlic, right? And you've tinkered with it until you get it to the point where it is perfect. And I think that's what Brett Veach has finally figured out with what makes this team perfect, at least during this modern era of the Chiefs. Some of it is tough love. And in order to stay great, you have to make tough decisions. Sometimes in life, you have to tell in a significant other, it's just not meant to be. You're a great person, but the future of us is not promising and we should just get out now. Mike Gennetti said what a Jones deal would look like on the drive earlier this week with Carrington Harrison and Rob Brenton.
Yeah, it starts at 4 for $120. You know, we're getting them back to that $30 million mark. Nick Bosa's contract has only pushed things further. So I think we're going to be at four years at $32 million per year, 2 years fully guaranteed, and that third year vests with some 2025 incentives. But it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. And whoever gets them is going to get two really strong years of a defensive interior lineman.
So 4 for $125 is where Mikey G thinks this thing starts. I don't blame him. I don't think that's an irrational number. But Chris Jones did everything that he needed to do to prove the point that he needed a new contract. Now he said, probably somewhat inebriated, but said, I ain't going anywhere. Laid on the field, Andy Reid, body slammed on top of him. There was love there. There was a euphoric situation where there was probably some anger in the beginning of the season between the two that in full circle, right? Chris Jones starts the season sitting next to Horace and Boris in a suite and finished the season with his head coach and probably the most important person in this franchise laying on top of him. Think about that. And there are moves in this offseason. I think the two biggest, I think we can agree, Quentin, are L'Jarius Sneed and Chris Jones. And if Chris Jones is going to get starting at what we think is 4 for $25, this is what an open market looks like for Mikey G or Mike Gennetti for L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, if he's a $16 million player in our system right now, that means about 4 for $64. So when he hits the open market, things generally go up about $2 million per year. So if he's on $18 million a year, you could probably sneak 4 or 5 years because of his age and feel pretty comfortable about it.
What does a team-friendly deal look like for Sneed?
Yeah, I don't know that you can dip under $15 million at this point. And I know McDuffie's contract's going to come up, and that's going to counteract what you're doing here. But I think you're going to have to be in that 4 for $60, at least with an initial offer, to keep him at least thinking about not hitting that open market.
So a lot of money being talked about the two key free agents. And two players, respectfully, that in the year that they needed to do the best of their capabilities, kind of did that. Right? Now, Chris Jones has had better years in the past. L'Jarius Sneed has not. L'Jarius Sneed shut down every single wide receiver one he was opposed to the entire season and might have, maybe, had a top two play of the year knocking the ball out of Zay Flowers' hands. Now, we could spend some time and dive through the entire 2023-24 season and think, what was the most important plays of the season? And probably, two involve your defense. The batted ball by McDuffie in the Super Bowl to make them kick the field goal and not be able to run the clock out. And then L'Jarius Sneed knocking the ball out of Zay Flowers' hands. Both came in very crucial games. One in the AFC Championship game that essentially paved your way to the Super Bowl, and one in the Super Bowl that pretty much paved your way to the Lombardi Trophy. But if there's one thing we know, we kind of think that Brett Veach has figured out his ingredients. You've got to have a sustainable defense in the top 10. You've got your core offensive guys together. You need to add one. He knows it. He'll do it. And we'll all sit back and trust him. He found Rashee Rice. He found Trent McDuffie. He made the trade for Tyreek Hill to acquire that. Karlaftis is on this team. Signed Drew Tranquil. Went and got Justin Reed. A lot of moves have been made. But the other thing that we have to remember, and it's tough because we're all still kind of in the Super Bowl mode of winning, and we're thinking about a three-peat, and this is not a world that we live in where, Madden, you can turn off salary cap and say, bring them all back, right? There was a time where you had to get rid of Tyreek Hill. There was a time where you had to get rid of Charvarius Ward, who got to watch the Super Bowl win from a personal point of view right in front of his face. But things are better on this side. That's what he said, not what I said. But we know that Brett Veach has found his ingredient. If you don't believe that, three championship trophies in 6 years should prove it. But tough moves are going to have to happen. But the reason that those tough moves have to happen is because if you want to continue the longevity of what this championship run is and what this dominance at the top of the NFL mountain is, you have to make those decisions. You have a recipe that you like. You know the circumstances that come with that. Some guys aren't going to be around next year. Who those guys are, I don't know, but keep running the offense through what you know that you have, which is Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. You know for a fact those guys are going to be back. Now what you've got to do is open up the pocketbook, figure out the budgeting, and see what necessarily you have to have and what maybe you don't need to have in order to run this thing again for what this team wants, which is a three-peat. And one reason why this was a three-peat, or why they're looking for a three-peat, why this was back-to-back, was because of moves and because of situational play by key players that, yes, so happened to be on a contract-heavy year. Well, Jarius Sneed, Chris Jones. But the one thing that Brett Veach has always done is he's always thought about his next shot. I use that example all the time to compare things to this offense, to this quarterback, to this head coach. They're always thinking about the next move. Even this team is. They're thinking about a three-peat after they had just won what was probably the greatest Super Bowl I've ever seen. And why I think this is the greatest championship run this team has ever had will be explained on the other side of this break. That's Quentin. I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on a Sunday morning, first hour flying by. Kickstart my heart, baby. Motley Crue. You know?
I'm happy you got that one.
I'm me too. Because I really wanted to say, like, Van Halen or Poison.
I'd have been a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like Motley Crue, I feel like that's a band I'd want to hang out with for like 1 year and then call it quits. If I could make it a year with those guys. As they were the Wild Bunch is what a lot of people, I think, coin them as. Is there Vince Neil, their lead singer? Is that who that is? Is he the lead singer of Motley Crue? Because they got Tommy Lee on the drums. Vince Neil, that's who it is. He really let himself go over time. But I'm not here to judge people. That's not for me to say. Do you think, Quentin, that this was the best Chiefs championship team of the three? I mean, run, like Super Bowl win. Was this to you the best one they had?
Mm-hmm. I think that the first one will always be like special because it was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what made this one so special is that it was back to back and that there was just so much doubt. There was so much struggle along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if we're being honest with ourselves, last year, Kansas City had the number one offense, and we knew that the defense could play in the playoffs. Even in the first one, you know, we just saw Patrick Mahomes come off of one of the best quarterback seasons of all time with his 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going into that offseason, we felt as if, like, yeah, Kansas City will be back because of what we just saw. Whereas this year, in the offseason, we all felt like kind of good. We were like, okay, we see what this defense is. We see what the offense is. But the entire offseason was, what is this wide receiver group? What does this offense look without Eric Bieniemy?
Uh-huh.
And for most of the season, It was not good. And so I think what makes that one special is that despite everything, they still won the Super Bowl.
This was Peter Schrager's opinion.
I don't think it's the sweetest one. I still think it's Super Bowl 54. I still go with the first one. And I talked to a few Chiefs fans yesterday, and I was curious because it's like, here we go. This is the story. We're the underdogs. We're the team that no one wants to see. Suddenly, we're the villain. Mahomes is the guy that no one wants to see hoist the Lombardi because we're just sick of it. This one here, 50 years they had waited to get into the Super Bowl again. And those same fans had to wait generations to get back into it. I go all the way back to Super Bowl IV, which is the last time the Chiefs had been in the Super Bowl. I can't stress it enough. Now that we're almost fatigued with Chiefs talk and it's almost commonplace and they've been to the conference championship game 6 years in a row, it used to be that the Chiefs, well, they had this in 1969, they had this. Then they had just a bunch of terrible playoff losses and a bunch of heartbreaking seasons. I think to actually hoist a Lombardi for the first time because they didn't know they were going to ever hoist it again. That's the sweetest victory. And that's the one that they hold closest to them. Last night was awesome. Super Bowl 57 was awesome. But I think 54, if I'm just saying it how I think sports fans feel, that one's probably the sweetest because of the long wait they had to go before getting back there.
I'm against the clock. That's something in radio that is very negative to me because I just want to keep going. I'll react to why I believe this was the best run they've had in the three that they've had. We'll explain all three, plus why my definitive response will maybe persuade you to the same belief that I have. That's Quentin. I'm Dusty. This is 610 Sports Radio on a Sunday, and you're listening to 610 Sports Radio.